I just want to invite Pastor Dave now. He's going to come and present the word. Give him a hand, everyone.
Thank you, Patrick. Morning, church.
Morning.
Bless you all. It's been a good service so far. Isn't it good when Jesus is the main center of it all? You know, and I just can't help but think His word is eternal, and He stands firm in the heavens. Amen? We stand on a firm foundation, Jesus. I just, before I go into my message, this word came to me probably maybe 8 months, maybe even a bit longer. This, I opened up my Bible one day, and all that I read was in Jeremiah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Look, disaster is spreading from one nation to nation. A mighty storm is rising from the ends of the earth. And at the time I was sort of, Lord, I'm not going to run around and tell everyone that you give me this word, but it sat with me, and you know, I can't help but deny this word is being fulfilled before my eyes. There is turmoil throughout the nations today, and if you don't know that, you're obviously not observing the news outside your little sphere of influence, but there's great turmoil happening in the world, but you know, that gives us reason. We have hope, amen? So I'm going to ask Jay to come up. Can you come please, Jay? Jay's going to stand here, and he's going to look out and put his arms out, put your arms out like that, Jay. And I'm going to read his message he's got on his t-shirt. Only Jesus can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victory. Amen. If we were to go home today and just that's all we heard, that's even enough. Amen. Bless you. There is many needing a miracle today, and you know, and I just want to encourage us today. But just before I share my word, the word that I believe the Lord's put in my heart, I just want to pray. Can we just still our hearts? Can we all just, we're all in this together today. Can we just look to our Heavenly Father? Father, we just come here, and even as much as Jay's t-shirt explains what you've done, Lord, we just ask that you'll confirm. We pray, Lord, that you'll just bless your word. Your word is eternal. Not by might nor by power, but by your spirit today. Just confirm your word. Bless each family, each and everyone in this place, auditorium today. May you give us an open ear to hear your word, Lord. Give us an open heart to receive it, O Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's always good when the word of God that you're about to share gets confirmed. And, you know, I came in here and I'm walking around and, like we do, praying. Now, I spoke to June, and June just confirmed my word. Within 2 words, she confirmed my word. Pastor Pete confirmed it last week. I was sitting there and he confirmed it. And the Bible says that God will confirm his word. Amen?
Yes.
His word, but the word that he's given us to speak out at a particular time. So it gives me confidence that I don't have to be striving or stressing about it, because I'm just a delivery here today to deliver. And so the word that I have titled my message is evangelism. Evangelism. And evangelism is simply sharing good news. You know, we hear the word evangelism. It's not always what we think of. But simply what evangelist means is a carrier of good news. Someone that is willing to pay a price. Someone that's willing to go and tell somebody about Christ and what he's done. And you know, and we have evangelists as an appointed office for some people, and we know that. Some people are gifted. God's given them a gift that they'll be accountable for. Not everyone's Billy Grahams and Reino Bonkies and all the, you know, the great evangelists of our time. But one thing, we are all called to be witness. A witness is somebody that has witnessed Christ and what he's done in their life, what he's done in other families' life. Susie was up here today testifying 17 years ago, how God brought her marriage together. Her marriage was a mess, like Jay's t-shirt said, and God turned it into a message, turned it into a testimony. That's basically the gospel message, amen? Jesus came to turn a mess into a message, into a testimony of his greatness. And I just really, you know, when you've got good news, you just want to tell people, don't you? Last week I had a little grandson born into the world, and he was actually born at home, and the house, Leah had him at the house. And just to think, within an hour, there's a little life that you've been praying for, about, brought into this earth. His name is Silas, and companion of Paul. Is there any Pauls here? But Silas was brought into the to be a brother to Hanley and a brother to little Val Lily. But you know, just the expression, and you in here as fathers, you in here as grandfathers, you in here as uncles, aunties, grandmothers, you know the excitement of a life. And you know, I just want to encourage us. You want to tell people about it, but there's one greater thing we need to be excited about and tell people about, and that is eternal life. Forever and ever and ever. I went to the South Island just over Christmas. I went down for a few days, and all my family was sort of called home just to be there, because one of my brothers is very ill from Sydney. He's got a sickness that is deteriorating. And you know, I'm there and I'm thinking, what can I do? And I had a message, somebody messaged me and said, be strong. And when you're sitting there and you've seen a man go from a strong man to just lost heaps of weight, can't drink his coffee properly, and you know, it just breaks your heart, especially when it's your brother, Brother John, and he's very kind, and you know, he's probably the kindest in our family. He'd give us, the old saying, he'd give you his shirt off your back, he would do that. But, and I'm thinking, what can I do? And all that comes to me, be strong. So I took my opportunity that I was there for a purpose, and the main purpose was to convey Jesus and his love and his message. My other brothers were there drinking beer and giving John a whiskey, and they had their source of remedy of how to fix it, but the greatest remedy is Jesus, amen? And so I was able to be able to leave knowing that I prayed for him. And I actually, his wife, Briar, said, oh, David, he's having breakfast, go out and sit with him, just before I was about to leave. And so I went out and I sat with him and I just laid my hand on. I said, John, can I please pray for you? And he said, yes. And all I went to pray and I just wept. I was lost, and all I could say is, Lord, according to your word, what Jesus done on the cross, by your stripes, I pray healing over John. And you know, but I just wept, and he looked at me and he seen the mess I was in. And I went away, and them words, be strong. But in that little place of weeping, I thought of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He wept. When Jesus came into circumstances that weren't so good, he wept. You know, we've got a world out there today, and there's much weeping. But we've got one that's weeping, I believe, over the nations more, and that's Jesus. He's weeping at this time for broken lives all throughout the nations. And so I went away knowing that I prayed for John, and I've just left it there. I had a bit of doubt. No, according to your word, what am I doubting you for? So if you're in here and you're standing on a word, you're standing on a place that you know you need a miracle, according to his word, he is faithful. He can do it. He can do the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. He's the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, way beyond anything we would ask or even imagine, according to the power that's at work within us. And we have Jesus in us. So that same power, you have his word in you. The living word. It's not a dead word. You know, people might mock us. They might. The other word, when I was down there, I was told before I'd go, be strong. And I text back and I said, thank you so much for encouraging me. Because when I go to my family, I'm to be strong. And that was good. I got that message. Thank you. So I get there and I text back to them and I said, oh, my family, just some of them just think it's a fairy tale. So I'm sitting in my sister's home, my brother-in-law and a couple of my other brothers. And I got one brother, like you always do, he's a real stirrer. Drops you in the deep, and he always opens up a conversation. He's yet to be a believer, but he's good at, you know, putting me on the spot. And then conversation started up, and my brother-in-law said, we got talking, and my sister, she got a bit upset. She said, oh, I don't know why Christians come to you and say, are you a Christian? She's not a Christian yet, I don't believe, but she said she was over in Tiana and some lady came up to her and said, oh, you're a Christian. And that really offended my sister. And I said, well, it's really good that she would see you in that light. She said, I've got my way of believing, I've got my beliefs. And I said, and she said, you got yours. Well, thank you, sister. I said, actually, I haven't got mine, I've got the word of God, I've got Jesus's. And so she starts to debate. I said, there's no good us arguing because you've got your theory. You need to have his theory. And so we got talking, and then my brother-in-law said, oh, it's just a fairy tale. And them same words. I was prepared for it, and I said, just a fairy tale. I said, you know what God's done for me. And he said, oh, yeah, we know that, but that's okay for you. You needed help. He said, you really needed it. And I said, well, we all need it. And you know, what I thought about it was, we have to make a stand in this time. Amen? Yeah. Not according to what they believe or what they think. Like my brother's there, he's sick. We know that he could only have months. We don't know. But we know that God can give him a few years. Amen? God's well able to do the impossible. Either that, or he goes straight to be with the Lord. Amen? It's not finished here. And then my brother-in-law said, oh, I've got everything. Which he does. He's got everything that every young man would, he's just retired now, but he's got a house, he's got it all paid for, a nice garden, he's got a Holden, he got an Aussie, a really nice one. He brought back, and he's got another ute he drives around, and he's got, you know, he's got it all sorted out. I said, well, I said to him, the scripture just came, how mere miserable is man if you believe this is our lot. If you're in here today, this is not our lot. Whether you've got much or little, know one thing, that you won't take anything out of this world other than Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? So let's just not feel inferior, insecure, and it's quite easy to feel like that when you're around a family and they've got everything and they're talking about their money and all these things, and you're sitting there thinking, this poor old Christian here, you can't, but we have a greater testimony, and it's Jesus has come to seek and save us and take us back to glory one day. Amen? They might have hope in this life, but we've got hope well beyond here. It's forever and ever. And so let us, church, I just want to pray, and I believe God's spoken to me today, or before, as I was preparing. Be strong, be courageous in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Do not let people belittle you. Do not let people tell you it's a fairy tale. They can tell you that, but you don't believe that. Amen? you can tell them it ain't no fairy tale. It's the truth. And so just as I go through my message, evangelism is simply sharing the good news, spreading of Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. Gospel means good news. The story of Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to read from Mark 16, and when Jesus rose from the grave, from the tomb. Reading from verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just as after sunrise, they went on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Can you imagine it? People that even been with him is close, and they didn't believe it. You know, we're going to get many people in this world that will not believe. And it doesn't really, in the real stream of things, it's not our accountability to make them believe. God says they either believe or they deny. Jesus said there's going to come a time where we're going to stand before him. We either deny him, even here on earth right now, we either deny him or we receive him and believe him. Amen? I don't know about you, but I would hate to be in that category where I just wouldn't believe. I'm so grateful, and Pastor Peter would just, we just had a few words this morning, and he was just saying how he was just so overcome by how good Jesus is. Susie and other ones in here today. You know, just think for a moment, if your heart was that hard that you just couldn't believe, or you just thought it was a fairy tale, knowing where it all ends, knowing the end of the journey, it's not just here and now, but it's what comes later that matters. We live in a world right now, and it's so sad, it's so broken. You know, I look at what's happening in Gaza, and I weep. I think you'd have to be something wrong with you if you didn't, seeing them precious little children, seeing their mothers, seeing people that are just devastated. Yes, we know that what they believe and the Hezbollah behind the whole thing, we know that they're not good. But when you see these little innocent lives with their pots wanting a bit of food, it breaks your heart. And you know, I just the other week I was over here and I looked out, and there was a man lying under the bridge out there, and he's in a sleeping bag, and he'd been there most of the day, or pretty much 4 or 5 hours anyway. And I was about to go home, And something was just prompting me, oh, you better feed him. And I'm thinking, oh. So I went and scurried around and I found some noodles and I found a loaf of bread, toasted that up and got the noodles, and then I had a water bottle there that I'd got and I liked it. I didn't want to give it away and I couldn't find anything else, so I had to give him a water bottle, a special sort of a water bottle. So I took it over to him. And I said to him hello, and he was in his sleeping bag. He just kept sort of pretty much covered. And when I spoke, he didn't really respond too much. And I just said, I've got some food here, and I just put it down next to him. And I said, oh, I don't know your life. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what mess you're in or whatever's happened. But one does know. And I just started sharing the gospel, and then I said, I said, where are you from? And he said, West Auckland. And then he said his name was John. Well, as soon as he said his name was John, I just wept because I thought of my brother. And I said, can I pray for you? So I prayed for him, and he seemed quite thankful, or like he acknowledged my prayer. And I just said, whatever you do, just, you know. So I come back across the road, get up, look back over. There he is, up out of his sleeping bag, walking off. Left the food, didn't touch it. And I'm thinking, you ungrateful so-and-so. I went to all that trouble and you've just left it there. And then I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I'll go back and get it. And then I thought, oh, people will see me and think that I'm taking someone's food. So I had to swallow my pride, walked across the road and thought, I'm getting my bottle back, I'm getting my food, I'm going to give my food to the birds. So I come over and gave it to the sparrows, and I thought, God, them little sparrows are blessed. And then I went back upstairs and I'm thinking, what was that all about? And what come to me? He needed spiritual food more than he did natural food. You know, in Amos said there's going to be a famine. Not of food in the natural, not bread and water, but of the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. And you know, I think at the moment there's a big hunger for food out there. All over the world, there's, I think 80% of the world or something doesn't get 3 meals a day. So many starving, so many broken, and it's just getting worse by the day. Sudan and all these different countries, and it just breaks your heart. But what's greater is a famine of the Word. You know, when Amos spoke that word, it was a judgment on Israel. Why? Because they turned in rebellion against God. We've got nations, and even New Zealand could be included. And many people are just turning in rebellion against God. I don't need him. I've got my source of supply. I can do it. I can just do whatever I want, whenever I want. As long as you don't bother me or I don't bother you, you'll be right. But then they don't realize the greatest food they need is spiritual. Because without spiritual food, there is no hope. There is no purpose. There's not even a purpose. But I believe, you know, like even in right now, it's happening with the hunger for food. There is a hunger for the Word of God. So what am I trying to say? We need people in this hour to be willing to take the Word of God, willing to stand and be a fool for Christ, willing to stand up and not be ashamed, not be belittled, not be shut down, but to proclaim the gospel of good news. Not the gospel of my what I think or what who I am or who you are, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. The one that died and rose again, he's coming back for us. Or he's taken us to be with him. Amen? And so, you know, we need to be bearers of good news. We need to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just want to spur you on today. Whatever sphere of atmosphere you're in, be counted for Jesus. Do you know, my sister, she had a bit of a go at me, and I don't mind because I'm well past worrying about what they think. And so all she did was rouse me up to get me going even more. So I started shooting scriptures out, and then they had to try and shut me down. Why? Because I've got a lifetime in the Lord of testimony and experiences. If somebody wants to argue or debate, we've got it in here. We've got so much. Amen? We're not defending ourselves. He's defended us. He said, when you open your mouth, speak. I'll speak. When you stand before, say, even the courts or whatever, he said, I will speak. Don't be worried about what you're going to say. You just be a mouth for me. Not get angry or anything, but just do it in love and you'll see a response. And so I went away from there, and I said, and my brother Brian said, oh gee, things got a bit heated in there, didn't they? I said, it didn't get heated, Brian. I said, I'm blessed. I am blessed. When I'm spoken negatively of, or somebody says that you're a religious nut, or not a religious nut, but if you are one of those Christians, we're blessed. Amen? Mark my word today, you're blessed. If you're a witness for Christ, or if you're a testimony for Christ, don't be ashamed. They are the ones that should be ashamed. But today we've got a world out there that's trying to turn everything in favour of them. And Jesus said these things will happen in the last days. We'll be persecuted. People will speak bad of us. But know one thing. We are blessed when we're persecuted for Christ. So church, I just encourage us here not to grow weary, not to grow faint, not to be intimidated by the world at this time. There's people out there that need good news. We are carriers of good news. So continue to release good news from you. You know, what better message we can have than good news when you've got all the bad news? Who wants bad news? The world. You sit around them and they say, oh, this one's dying, this one's... You're sitting there thinking, oh my Lord, I couldn't live in that world. My other brother, I got away and was speaking, and I got two Christian brothers down the south, and he was saying, gee, they're so negative about it. I said, yeah, because we're in two different kingdoms. We're in the kingdom of light, we're in the kingdom of hope, we're in the kingdom of good news. They're in the kingdom of darkness. There's no good news in there. It breaks your heart. You think, how on earth can they live in that realm? The only thing they can do is get drunk every now and again to try and still their pain, but then the next day they wake up worse. It's just an ongoing, never-ending mess. But we have the message. Turn to Christ and be saved. If you're in here today and you're in a mess, I say, turn to Christ. He is faithful. He is faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to who he is. Faithful to his word. He is the one, the resurrection and life. No one come to the Father except through Jesus. Why? Because he was the one that became a perfect sacrifice upon a cross for you and me. For our sins. For our forgiveness, for our eternal life. And you know, this week I got a call down to Wellington on Friday. My son was going to Wellington, and he drives a big van. He drives for, what is it? Something Express. Smart Express, anyway. And he didn't have anyone to go with him. The other work colleagues were at a funeral, so he was going down by himself, so... he actually asked if I would go with him just for company, and so we set off down on Friday, 11 o'clock. We left Manukau way down, didn't get down there till I think it was 7 o'clock. We got there, and on the way we encountered a few things. On the way we encountered a we went across the desert road, and my son said, "Oh, why do they call this desert road, Dad?" And I said, "Because it's desert. Can't you see it looks like a bit like a desert?" So we were getting along, and he said, "Oh, you can start to see now that things are looking drier, or sort of tussock and that." Then we get down the road, next one we got caught in a big dust storm. And I've never in my life been through anything like that. And all the dust, it was just clouds of dust, and, you know, just blowing on all of us, the cars, and we'd slow right down and literally stop in places. Then we got through that. That was an experience. Then we got to Wellington. Going into Wellington, we got blown into Wellington. It was just, the van was, because it was quite size van, and the rain was pouring, and I'm thinking, gee, this is going to be a disaster. We've got to deliver this furniture to this lady. So we go to where she lived, right in Wellington. We get there, and it's still pouring down. We drive up there, and then my son had to ring her to say he's there. And she said, "You'll be there in a few minutes." And I'm sitting there, and I thought, this is going to be disastrous. Her bed's going to get wet. All these, you know, thoughts running through my mind. She lived up 27 stairs. It was between two houses. We had to walk up concrete steps. And, you know, at Wellington's like most here, if you know, you've got to be a mountain goat in most places there. But forgive me if you're a Wellingtonian. I did live there one time for a bit. But so all that come to me is, you're going to have to pray. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, right. You know, and I got out, not a word of a lie. I actually said to my son, "I'm going to pray." So he got out to go and meet the lady, and it was still raining. And I got out, and it was raining. And I'm standing there thinking, where can I get some shelter? And I just raised my hands and prayed. I said, "Lord, I just pray that you'll just stop still this rain right now in Jesus' name." And all that come to me, according to his word. And what come to me, Jesus, he could stop and still the weather. And he's living in us. And it was just so simple for me to say, "Lord, this is not about me. This is about your word and whom you are." And I just say, stop the rain so we can get this furniture. And raise my hands. And I stood there and it's still raining. And I was like, "Oh, Lord," you know, like you do. Like you do. And then my son, he's coming back down, and I'm saying, "Lord, please do it, please." Next thing, not a word of a lie, the rain stopped. And we shifted the furniture up to the house. We left. I was a little bit damp from when getting out, but other than that, we're on our way back to Wellington, to Auckland. Dropped it off and turned to come back. And coming back, we wanted to get to Bulls before dark, possibly. And I'm saying, I'm sitting there and I'm being pretty smart at this time. And I said, "Oh, Joshua told the son to stand still. My son's Joshua." And I said, and the sun was like behind us. And I said, "Son, be still until we get to a certain place." And it was quite amazing, because all that was coming to me is a word. And then I looked, and this is not a word of a lie, we looked out, and there's this massive rainbow. And then all that came to me, "God, you're so faithful to your promises. If you're in this place today, I want to tell you, the word of God is the truth. The word of God is for today. The word of God stands firm in the heavens. And more than that, the promises of God." I just believe God said to me to tell some years in this place today, you've got promises. This man here, God has promises for you. You know, you've carried some of them. I believe the Lord would say they're still going to come to pass. You've got no reason to doubt. You've got no reason to fear. And you've got no reason, don't let anyone else belittle you or say, "Oh, you should have done this, you could have done that." No, God, whatever God's got, he leaves the best to last. And when he gives you, he gives it that you can just stand there and say, "It was you, Lord." Amen, brother? I really pray that over your life, that God's going to bring them things to fruition. I don't know what they are, but I believe, do you have some things that you still want to do or bring into fruition? Father, what's your first name? Father, we just pray. Can we just stretch our hands towards this brother today? Father, we thank you for this beautiful brother. Lord, we thank you for every promise you've made. You have a promises over his life that nobody knows, and nobody even he knows. He witnesses with some of them. You even have ones that he's not even aware of. Father, we just ask that you'll start seeing the book of promises outworked in his life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, according to your word, Lord. Bless him, amen. We've got a man in here, some of you know him, Modesta, and you know, the Cameroonian man that comes, and I was sitting there before and I heard this thought and I thought, oh no, he's got a job. But the thought come to me, he's not in church today, he's probably heading to work today. That's the only problem sometimes in today's world. They want you to work Sundays. But anyway, he got a job and he texted me and he was really excited. He said, because he's come in here, he was quite broken. Well, he was very broken. We don't need to go into it all. But he'd keep coming. He showed himself faithful. And I used to just say to him, Modesta, all you have to do is remain faithful. God's the one that will do the miracle. And you know, he was here the other day and I just felt to walk over and I just laid my hand and I said, Modesta, I don't know what God's doing, but all I want to do is tell you something. And it was good news. I said, God's got something very precious for you in this land, and you know, your past is your past, and you know, God's well able to do a great miracle in your life. And so next thing, he's texting me, telling me he's got this job. And I just said, praise the Lord. And, you know, Sister Brenda here, she's sort of been in the journey, in the picture. She's been helping him along as well. And, you know, others too, probably, you know, people in here have shown compassion and love. But isn't it good news when you see somebody that's in a foreign land and they just destroy it, and then they turn around and say things are starting to get better. Amen, church. If you're in this place today and your life is like that, if you're in a place and you can identify you're in a bit of a mess at this time, you don't know what direction to go, you're feeling like, oh, if only I knew what I was going to be doing next week, only if I knew what my life is going to be, only if I knew who I'm going to marry, only if I knew all these things. One knows. He knows everything. As one great man used to say, he knows your address. He knows your address. Some prophets actually speak them out, which is a bit scary, isn't it, when they start telling you people's address. But I want to encourage you, God knows your address today. He knows your mess today. He knows your frustrations. He knows what you're going through. I just want to tell you, it's not over. Hasn't finished. You're not getting too old. You're not getting to a place where it's all finished. You can dream and continue to hang on to your dreams. Amen? God is in the place of showing himself on behalf of those that will stand faithful in him. Brother and sister, stand faithful in him. Stand faithful in him. God's got a plan and a purpose that people are going to stand and watch your life and they're going to say, wow, it's going to turn out. I break every attack and assignment of the devil today in the name of Jesus Christ, and I say, peace be upon you. May you just hang on to the Lord. Even as if you were drowning in an ocean and they chucked your life ball, what would you do? You'd hold on to it. Hold on to Jesus today. Don't let go. Don't look to your left or your right. Don't go for this one to try and get counsel. You come together before him and one another. Amen. They can give you their wisdom. They can give you their perspective on their life, a journey or whatever. But sometimes that's not what you need. Be still and know he is God. Be still and know that He is the deliverer. Be still and know that He is the healer. Be still and know that He is the one that is more concerned about your life than your wife, your husband, your family, your children. He is the one. If you stand, make a stand. There's ones in here, there's beautiful people in here and right now, and I believe the Holy Spirit would tell me to tell you, He's happy, He's proud of you. You have stood when you felt like it was all over. You stood when you had a report and it didn't look good and you thought it was all over and all finished. You stood. And today you're standing, you're still here, and God is going to have the victory. He has given you the victory. He will not be put to shame. Our God will not be put to shame. All those that trust in Him will never, ever, ever be put to shame. Whether it's trust for a miracle in health, whether it be a trust for a miracle in provision, whether it be a trust for a miracle in circumstances, whatever that may be, God is able. God is able. Young Sam, can you stand up? Just raise your hands to the Lord. Both. I'm not going to shoot you. Raise them up. I just really want to encourage you, Sam. God has got something for you. And it's not going to be found in everyone else. It is tailored for you. You don't have to be like everybody else. You be the best Sam that God can make of your life. I just pray that every thought, every lie of the devil, everything that you go through at times, I believe you probably feel like you're failing or you're not as good as you should be or whatever. I just break that off your life and I just ask the Lord to bring you into a place that you'll be so confident in Him. He's your maker. He's your everything, Sam. And don't even look at other circumstances and think, God, where are you in this? Because that's not your business. Your business is to look to God where you're that you've found in Him. He will take care of others. You pray for them, you do things, but don't carry burdens. You just be that best one, Sam, in Jesus' name. Bless this young man. Can we just raise our hands towards him? Father, we just ask for a miracle for Sam. I don't know what he's going through, but we just pray for such a miracle to be released in this young man. I pray he'll be a fireball in your hand. You'll just give him confidence. Thank you for his the word that's been invested in this young man. Thank you, Lord. And he's got on his T-shirt, awaken. Awaken. Father, as he awakens others, Lord, use him. We pray for your blood covering on him against all assignment of the enemy. I break everything the enemy's brought over his mind. We just take captive. We take captive every thought, everything. We bring it under the submission, under the lordship of Christ. In Jesus' name, free his mind. Free his mind this day in Jesus' name. Bless you, Sam. Bless you, young man. You are blessed. You can sit down, yes. But I just encourage again, and I'm just about there. It goes on to say, afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported to the rest, but they did not believe either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, Jesus could come and visit you at your house, and I don't know if... And you could come and tell everyone in here tomorrow and someone would say, oh, I don't know if I believe that. I think she's gone cuckoo. I think he's gone cuckoo. You're not going to get everyone believe. Amen? In the Bible, these were people that knew Jesus. They knew and they doubted. And, you know, so all we can do is do what the great evangelist ladies Mary's did, and that was run with the gospel of good news about Jesus. Run with Jesus. Amen? All they knew, it was good news. I remember listening to this preacher one time and he said, women were the first evangelists. They were the ones two Marys run to tell everyone, and the other, and it was Anna, was it Anna? I'm trying to think of the other one was in the mix. But they run to tell people that he's risen. I've seen him. I've seen him. We've, in this place, we've seen his goodness. You've encountered his goodness. You've encountered a miracle. Go tell someone about it. Tell them what he's done. Amen? Be a testimony of his goodness and what he's done. Then it goes on to say, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Don't you love that? Preach the gospel to all creation. Do you know there's been countries, and I remember some years probably back, I don't know, when you get into my age, that you can go back quite a long way sometimes. I watched this movie. It wasn't a movie, it was a testimony documentary, that's right, thanks. Isn't it good to have a wife that can help you speak? Documentary. I left school at 15, so don't blame me. Blame my school teacher, actually. Just saying that. I got a brother, and he got told to leave school at 15. He said, you might as well leave school. You're not doing any good. You'll never amount to anything. I might have even shared this. Today, my brother sold his farm. He's moving into town, Nomaru, and he bought the headmaster's, Mr. Hollard's, house. Amen. And he's gone to Dunedin to go to a rest place. Amen. And he didn't only buy the house, he bought the little property across the road. And he's donating some to St. John's Ambulance. But, you know, don't let anybody say you will not amount to anything. You can do all things. If anyone's ever said that to you, you're useless, you're not going to go anywhere, break them words in Jesus Christ today. You are able to do exceedingly. You're able to do whatever he would have you do. Not in your strength, but in his power. Amen. Isn't it good? We don't have to strive. We don't have to stress. We just have to trust. We just have to believe. Believe and you shall receive. Amen. And then it goes on to say, yeah, and so this documentary, I'll get back to the documentary. I better go home and learn my English. What happened was they were shown the gospel had been preached in this area. And they couldn't believe, they're bringing truckloads of this vegetables and that, and they're all so huge and so, everything grew massively in this. And they put it down because the gospel had been preached. Amen? God even changes creation. He changes the wind. He can change whatever. Amen? Not just people, but he can. He is awesome. He's powerful. And so I just really, so as you preach, you're not just preaching to the ear, you're preaching to the spiritual realm, to the natural realm. Amen? You're speaking spiritual into the natural. And who's the greatest, spiritual or natural? There's no contest, is there, sister? Amen. Amen. So I'm just about there. I keep saying this. I've got to stop saying that. It's a silly thing to say. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. I don't suggest that, but Apostle Paul did, didn't he? And the islanders, the Maltons, they were amazed. He just chucked in the fire and didn't get sick. Deadly snakes are meant to kill you. Don't go around grabbing one. I wouldn't suggest it. And don't go drinking deadly poison. That's not a good remedy either. But if you ever come to a place where a snake arrived at your doorstep and he grabbed your foot or bit your foot, you can say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, and you shall have power over it. Amen. Amen. That's not my word, this is God's word. It will not hurt them at all. they will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. Amen. Who likes that one? Who's sick in this place? Who needs healing today? Is there anyone in here that's looking for a healing? Any one of you, please. Is there anyone that is sick? You're sick? You all come and stand up here. Anyone else? You don't worry about your medication. If you need a miracle, just come up here in Jesus' name. Smith Wigglesworth will tell you to chuck your medication. Is there anyone else that needs a miracle? Come. Anybody else? Now they're starting to come. Come, come, come. Come, come, come. And I'm going to ask Patrick. Bible says, it says that you call the elders. Come, just come. And we're going to stand on the word of God today. We're going to stand. This word's either, it's either real or it's just a fantasy, like my brother said. And we know it's no fantasy. The Bible says that when the gospel's preached, Jesus Christ died, he rose again, and he did this for our sins and sicknesses. Amen. He cancelled everything that was against us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, rob. But Jesus come that we might have life, life in abundance. And we're going to speak it over these dear people today. We're going to speak abundance. We're going to speak healing. He says, he places their hands on the sick people and they get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs and wonders. Amen. God's into confirming his word. He loves to confirm his word. He loves to show himself mighty. He is all powerful. He is almighty. All you have to do is believe. Just raise your hands. Raise your hands. You're looking into the author of your faith. You're looking to the one that created you. You're looking for the one that knows every thought, every little thing about your life. Right now, we're going to pray in faith. We're going to pray. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that you died upon a cruel cross. You shed your blood. You bled for our sins that separated us from you, our sins that brought a curse upon us. But you became a curse for our curse. Today you took every sin, you took every sickness by your stripes. By your stripes, we are healed. Not going to be healed, we are healed. Can you just say to yourself, I am healed. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am healed. Healed. You said it, I believe it. Believe. Believe. And if there's anything or anybody that you need to forgive this day, please forgive. Please forgive. Because you know, I remember being in Vanuatu and had an awesome time there some years ago for Robert Siakimoto. But anyway, there was lines of hundreds coming for healing. And I wasn't getting very much, and the Lord revealed to me, they need to repent of their sins. Soon as they started repenting of their sins, it was just healing one after another. Bang, bang, bang. Could be any sins of your forefathers, any sins. Sin sounds a bad word in today's English. Sin is just exposing something for as it is. Sin is just bringing, it's just a consequence of us as people who are rebellion. Father, I thank you for my sister. Right now, I pray for the power of God right now.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be seeing miracles in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Get excited. It's good news, brothers and sisters. This should be the house of miracles. Amen. People all over this city are needing miracles. When they start hearing, when we start preaching, when we start running with good news, telling them what God's doing and what He can do, they'll be coming. Amen. Amen. When you start telling somebody how you got delivered of drugs and alcohol, how you got set free of an empty life because of Jesus, they can't find their way out of their bottle. They can't find their way out of their drugs. There's only one that can give them that hope, and it's you and me. Amen. Share your testimony. Testimony is powerful. Why? Because what he's done for us, he can do for others. That's why when we share the testimony of Jesus, it's powerful. Why? Because he done everything. There's nothing he cannot do. Hey, brother. He's the answer. He's the solution. If we trust him, stand. Stand. We know everything, and when it's all said and done, stand. Stand in this hour. Declare your faith. Declare your testimony. This is a really exciting day to be alive. Amen. Amen up the back there. You are happy to be alive in this hour. Amen. Amen. Go tell someone about Jesus. Go tell them that he lives. Go tell them that he changes lives. Go tell them that he can set us free. Go tell them that he can take us to eternity one day. I love where Apostle Paul said, oh, I love that man anyway. One day, hopefully, I'll get to meet him. Hey, Pastor. He'd probably be the first I'd go to, Apostle Paul. Can I see Apostle Paul? He was a man of faith. He was a man that, you know, he was incredible. I love when he said, for to me is to live as Christ and to die as gain. Can you imagine if we arrived at that place? If our lives were a testimony, if our lives were to live because he lives, we live. Isn't it a beautiful place to be? I went down to Wellington to help my son drop some furniture. I didn't know I was going to witness a miracle when I was on my way. I didn't know what I was in for. I thought, oh, it's going to be a long journey. I tell you, it was a short journey. It was so exciting. When you're on a journey, God can make it exciting. Amen. The greatest journey excitement we can have, and that is sharing the gospel of good news. Let's go on a journey. Let's let our lives be a journey of sharing good news, evangelizing and witnessing like never before. Amen. Why? Because it's like you can have the best doctor in Auckland. Unless he's got the best remedy, he's not going to be a busy doctor. He'll be a broke doctor. We got the best. Not the dregs, we got the best. We don't have to preach us. We're preaching Christ Jesus, amen. He is alive. Why do we know that? Because he's still changing lives. Only Jesus can turn a mess into a message. Let your mess become a message. A test into a testimony. Let your test become a testimony. A trial unto a triumph. There he is, speaking about my motorbike again. Sorry. A triumph. Trial for a triumph. A victim unto a victory. I didn't tell you one other thing, just quickly. When we were going down, we had to stop and put diesel in. We couldn't go down the Taupo road because it was blocked, so we had to go around the old road. We pull up at this little garage and my son pulls a big van in. I get out, I'm stretching my legs, and next thing in comes this bike, a Harley, white one. And next thing, sort of almost like looked like they were falling off it. Takes the helmet off, and I reckon this lady must have been nearly 80 years of age. No, not a word of a lie. She just looked like Marlene, basically sitting there. She took off her helmet, and there she was, and I was stunned. I said to my son, do you see what I just seen? And so anyway, She's off the bike, put in gas. I went over to her and I said, where are you off to? You're going for a ride? She said, yeah, I'm on my way to Auckland. And it's like, I was just surprised. And it was a big bike, big, nice white Harley Davidson. And she gassed it up. Next thing, and I said, oh, have a blessed trip. She got on it, out the looked way up the road. And I thought, Lord, that really excites me. There's a lady living life, amen? I don't know for the right cause or not, but she's living life. Off she went, and I said to her, something about, she said, oh, I've been riding bikes for a long time. So she's probably gone right, but isn't that amazing, eh? But anyway, how I got onto that, I don't know. But anyway, Lord, is there anyone here today and you haven't received Christ Jesus? That is the greatest miracle into your life. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, He is Lord. If you confess, believe, you shall be saved. Not you might be saved, you shall be saved. Is there anyone in here today that has never done that, or you have doubts that you if you're today, if the Lord was to come, that you wouldn't be saved? If you were here today and you were scared, thinking, gee, if he was to come today, I wouldn't like to meet him. If you have that in your heart, just come to the altar and we can say a prayer for you today. There's nothing great about us. All we are is reconciling your life back to your Heavenly Father. We are to be reconcilers of mankind. And you know, we've got a big job to do. Do you know Jesus wept when he looked out in the nations? Do you know one thing today, and I often think, we have prayer meetings and we go to prayer. The greatest thing I believe prayer does, and that it gives you the heart of Jesus. Breaks your heart for what breaks his. Do you know he's more broken when he used to preach and teach, and all the crowds would follow him, and he'd say, oh man, I've got to get out of here. I'm going to another town because I come to preach the good news of the gospel to other places. Amen? Sometimes we like to keep it to ourselves, and oh, God's doing this. Go tell someone that doesn't know him. Go tell somebody that needs to hear good news. Amen? Amen? Good news is for bad news, is for people that are having a mess. I feel like I'm getting stirred up a wee bit now, but I really, really believe this year, and it's my heart, that we reach the lost. We reach the brokenhearted. We reach those ones that are out there weeping at night, not knowing what they're going to feed their children in the morning. Weeping, not knowing how they're going to get off their addictions. So confused. Weeping. Others are angry at them. There's people out there that are just totally angry. Got a spirit of anger in them. We need to reach these people with the gospel of good news, Jesus Christ. And I need to say that's it for me today and put it back to Patrick and bless you all. Can we just take away today that we are called not just to have a blessed life, not just to have a blessed club, but we're called that we might be reconcilers of people. The greatest call of God, reconcile people back to their master. You might not think that you've got all the best looks or the best this or the best voice. You might think you can't speak English that well like me. God's not impressed. God uses the foolish things to dumbfound the wise. So if you're a fool, want to be a fool for Christ, you're in the right place. You don't have to go to Bible study to lose your fire. You can get fired up in Jesus' name by going to Him, and by really, it's good to go to Bible study and learn, but don't let your fire be extinguished. I said to Tony today, there's two things, fire and water you cannot contain. Fire of the Holy Spirit, you cannot contain. Water of the Word, you cannot contain. And that's it. I'm contained right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Why don't we just stand up? We're just going to sing one song and then we just close the service. Amen.